We're off.
Sleaford! He's perched on the chair. He's joining us.
Oh, hello, dude.
So.
He's like a mythical creature.
He is a little bit. Here we are again.
We are. Sorry, we're a bit up and down at the minute. Things will settle soon.
Here's hoping.
So, yeah.
Oh, you've got your mushroom...
Your cat hair covered.
Your podcast sweater on.
I do. It's chilly. It's 18 degrees. It's gone from 39 to 18 or 17.
I was going to say, I thought it was even cooler than that.
It was 18 in the living room when I just looked.
Oh, you meant in here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant outside.
So the cats have gone from wearing their underpants to being fully clothed in their wool suits. So
we don't actually have our kitties in wool suits.
Be great if they could unzip, though, wouldn't it?
All right, what are we here to actually talk about?
So you went gallivanting into the east.
Oh, yes, I was gallivanting around the east coast, truly.
Which is somewhere we should like to go and take the podcast to do some mountain biking, but...
I did feel quite bad and sad that I had to leave you behind. Not like I got to do any riding either. I was on a different mission and adventure, but I think it will be revisited one day.
Yeah, we'll get there.
On BC Clet.
So, yeah, you were out and about.
So where'd you go?
Well, I think I rode at Queenston two or three times, twice one day. And then I was supposed to go to Horseshoe, but I didn't because of various reasons, including the time it was going to take to get there, which is...
It's a little extra further in a way.
2.5 hours or something from here, and I was trying to time it with picking you up at Waterloo Airport. So, is that where it is? Waterloo Airport?
Yes.
Yes. So I decided I would bite the old bullet and go to the Hydro Cut, which many people have told me about. So it's 35 millimetres of flowing trails, apparently.
35 millimetres?
Kilometres, sorry. Okay. That was the rainfall.
Going to say, there's been a lot of rain. I wondered if you were talking about that. Hold up a second. So what day was that? Was that on a Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, so you managed to dodge a weekend day at least.
Yeah. And it was busy enough on a Monday.
Was it? What was the evening?
So the day was okay, or the afternoon. Although there were two vehicles with lots of bikes. So there's somebody coaching and then some hire bikes, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is good, but unusual to see. And then, I don't know, maybe saw 20 people on the trail on a Monday afternoon.
Whoa.
And then, so I did, there's three sectors, I did all three. And then I thought I'd go and do the first sector again before I came to pick you up because I'd got a bit more time.
And
there was a lot of people in there then.
Right. Because normally wherever we go, even if there is, you know, a good number of people in the car park, generally we don't see too many people out in the woods once you kind of get away from the trailheads and,
no, and so on. No, I queued for some features at one point.
Whoa.
Which is not what I'm used to at all. So
holy Toledo.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Queued for some features. Whoa.
Yeah, I think a couple of people were a bit unsure, so then they kind of hesitated and went and looked at it, but it was a bit like a round of golf. By the time they'd finished looking, there was like, you know, 10 people behind you.
So was that your first time there?
Yeah, so I'd never been.
I for some reason
Kelso I'd been to before, which was maybe the other one that everybody said you should go to,
and that's probably the one that I'm thinking of. There are they fairly close to one another ish
that kind of way, I guess. Okay. Yeah, and I have my views on Hydro Cut. Like, I don't enjoy the way they post on Instagram the cyclists with the red cross through it and say, don't ride.
I do know how you feel about that.
But I'm a little bit more sympathetic to their cause, I suppose, after being there.
I was actually going to say, I think most people know how you feel about that. Which there's nothing wrong with. Well, so that was going to be my first question, is what was your first impression? So Instagram postings aside.
Straight out of the car park. And just to get this correct, I think one car park was closed. So I parked at Glasgow Street parking lot, not the Sanders Road, I think. Or Cinders Road. Anyway, I parked at Glasgow, which is where the actual hydro thing is. Hence why it's called the Hydro Cut.
Was it cool?
It was just a car park, really. A dusty car park.
No, the hydro part, though.
Well, there's a lot of wires and wires and things. But
what you would expect it to look like.
But straight out the gate, out the car park, you go on this, like, hillside, which is, it feels like a bobsleigh track. It's like worn in, hard packed mud, and I could just imagine if it rained it would go like ice and then just be churned up, right? So a bit weird, like almost so much of a trench that you wouldn't catch your pedals on it, but if you were riding a smaller bike you might. If you were a kid on a 24 inch wheel, you might pedal strike the sides of the
little tunnel.
The groove that you're in. But once you enter into the Glasgow parking lot, sorry, the Glasgow trail system, everything kind of improves. And that section was a bit quieter out of all of them. I guess that's where the easier trails, there's some black further on, but generally there's a lot of blue in there, and I saw one or two other people in there. And it was cool enough. It was, you know, a bit up and down, but yeah.
Cool. So what was the surface like?
Wherever there's sun, it was that hard baked mud with no loam gone, like just worn away into a like a groove, like I said, and it goes slippery when it gets damp, so it goes all shiny. But then as soon as you enter into the woods, it was a bit better, a bit more loamy and a bit more grip, I suppose. It's very kind of Durham-esque though, not a lot of rock, a lot more wood and a lot more mud, roots, and then wooden features, I would say.
Oh, our beloved loam. All right, and how about the variation?
Well, you go from kind of like these three clear sectors. I started off in Glasgow, which I think might be one of the older ones. And then you go into like the Hydro Corridor and then Snyder's. I think Snyder's is the new one, or the newer one. And they all link quite nicely. Glasgow was well enough, I would say. Not too many of those dumb transitions where you kind of go steep down, straight up. And some quite interestingly built trails, like along the side of a ravine or a drop, and then a good use of wooden features, which I quite enjoyed, which you probably wouldn't want to be hanging about on when it's wet.
What type of wooden features?
Like lots of bridges, because it's swampy.
Oh, I see.
Glasgow is swampy, the rest of it less so. But
any skinnies?
A few little, like
my faves.
Logs cut in half.
Oh, yeah? Did you do any of them?
I did a couple of them, yeah.
Were they the kind of logs cut in half skinnies that are, like, super difficult or, like?
No, they were well enough, easy enough.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And well placed. And then that's a nice number of rock drops as well. So even though there's not a massive rock, there was a lot of drops. And a lot of them were not nothing. In fact, if there's a little video I put up onto YouTube, because I did a quick edit with the old auto edit thing.
I don't even think I've seen the video yet.
Maybe not. Well, after the podcast goes up. But I was, you know, cruising down one of the blacks thinking, this isn't a black, and the drop was probably as big as this table, I guess. So,
whoa.
And it came out of nowhere, which is fine. Like, it was fine. But
well, is it, though?
Well, it was a black. And
okay,
it,
fair
so
play.
So it wasn't, you know, it was well within a black. But my point was, is they've, you kind of cruising along and you think, oh, this is a bit awkward, and this way it's a black, and then suddenly there's a, you know,
right,
3 foot drop going down a hill into a bend. So,
do you know what that made me think of? And, you know, maybe that's all well and fine for someone like you, but for someone like me, a drop that big would not necessarily just be fine. But fair enough, it was marked a black. But it made me think of, remember up in, was it Sudbury, where they had like a lot of signage prior to different features? And even in the Sioux, they there's quite a bit of signage, I would say, prior to some features. And
yeah, and I think both the Sioux and Sudbury have some skills areas, so you know what you're getting into.
Right.
To be fair to the Hydra Cut, their other car park was closed, so I don't know if there is something there or not. And there were a few squirrel catchers at the start, like there's like a rock garden,
right,
which would put you off if you weren't, didn't know what you were doing. I didn't feel you would unfairly wander into something you didn't intend to. But I guess my point is that feature was just a bit out of proportion to everything else. I mean, there's some drops, right? But that was like, what?
Sounds a little daunting to me. I mean, when you say it was just the size of this table and just out of nowhere.
Yeah, but a little bit.
I get it. It was marked a black, so, you know, one should...
And on the video, you don't even know. You just hear me say drop because it was on me so quickly. I didn't even, you know...
And how was the signage otherwise? Like, never mind, not just features, like for trails.
Signage was good for trails and also one directional unless clearly stated.
All right.
And walking trails also clearly stated as walking trails.
That's nice. The single direction, though, that's... I like that.
Yeah, it's unusual for Ontario. Not hammering around a corner, seeing someone coming the other way. Although I did get smacked by a guy on an e-bike, which was a bit annoying.
But, oh, yeah, you did mention
who that. Then fell off, which was a bit more bizarre.
Well, he did say, you told me he did not know, and I bet that now he knows.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you got to learn somehow, because I wouldn't have known either. I mean,
a couple years ago. Didn't slow down or anything, and then just... decided to try and, yeah, like, go between me and the tree, which was bizarre. And then, like, pegged himself on my handlebars. And then fell off. And then I had to stop and pick him up, which was... Anyway, never mind.
Well, good job. Did you have a most favoritist trail?
I guess so. And I suppose that's why I went kind of back into the... Not really...
What?
I really... Well, hang on, no. I really like the Glasgow area, because there's a lot of trails in the Glasgow area. So that's why I did it twice.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that you pick out... I could pick out any one, because there's a lot of them. But I enjoyed the Glasgow, particularly section. The blacks. I liked the... Yeah, I liked the black sections of Glasgow, I would say.
Or is that just because you're from that way?
No.
You bias.
No, I tried to give everything a fair...
you cheater.
A fair go. But, pumpkin
eater. All right, so that's fair that not a single trail, but a favorite area or zone of the three.
Yeah.
So where exactly is it?
So it's a bit bizarre, really. It's... you kind of drive into Waterloo and you... pass a petrol station, and then you kind of turn, you come out the petrol station, or I went in the petrol station because I actually went for a pee. You come out the petrol station, turn right, and then the next thing you know, you are within a trail system. There's Snyder's Road East, I think, and then Glasgow something, and yeah, you're like a big hydro depot and a big excavation for the hydro, and then there's two car parks, like, or a car park on the side of the road. Huh. And you ride up this gravel trail, and then there's a bigger car park, and there's all these signs saying, you know, Waterloo Cycling Club or whatever. And then you're kind of straight in it. But, yeah, no, it's weird. It's not where you would expect it to be. And if you look on, like, any map, it looks like it's in the middle of a housing estate, which it kind of is, I suppose.
Right. Sometimes they are, eh?
Yeah, a little bit.
How were the... Because you did say it was, I mean, rather busy. Busy for us, but maybe not necessarily busy for everyone else. How were the humans?
Generally pretty good.
Did you get, like, some hellos?
Yeah, a bit. And yeah, to be fair, and like the people coaching were cool, and I spoke to some guy that had come from Edmonton. He was visiting family, and he'd like brought his bike all the way from there, and I think he grew up around there.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I think generally people were fine. Just a bit of that, I don't even feel like I should bring it up, but it's just that later on in the day when I said I was kind of waiting to go down that feature, it was that thing of people knowing exactly where they're going, like the people that know it. You know, we've had this conversation before. Like, if you ride in the Don Valley 5 times a week, then you're going to know those trails well. Like, I know some trails really well, and you ride a lot faster.
Right.
Just have to bear in mind that there are people there that have never been there before. They don't know what's coming. And you're trying to do laps because you're trying to beat your, you know, your best time or whatever. It's kind of fine, but you do need other people to come. Otherwise, your bike park ain't going to survive, right? So you said where it was. So there's Ira Needles Road, and then there's a road called Glasgow Street, and that's what the car park is off of. And that Ira Needles Road is where the petrol station is, and you can see what I mean. Like, this is housing.
Right.
And then that's the car park I mentioned, and then this is all hydro around here.
I see.
And it's kind of nestled in the corridor where the pylons go.
I see. Neat. So, is it worth a second visit?
I think for us, it's worth a second visit. I think if we do a second visit, though, we would do a midweek second visit, because I think a weekend would be terribly busy.
Well, I would like to go check it out.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy it.
Would you like some more tea?
I'm okay for now, thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else that you'd like to add about it or share?
I'm pleased I went. I wouldn't want to go on a weekend, and I would like to go again. That's about where I stopped with it, really.
You were very serious about that response.
Well, because I was thinking about it carefully. There's places I go where I'm like, I could live here and ride here every day, like Queenston Quarry, near where we live.
Yes.
And that's quite urban, right? It's right next to the border. But there's a lot of quarry noise or hydro noise. There's like bird scarers going off. There's a lot of big roads around here. It's a nice place to ride if that's on your doorstep. It's brilliant. But you're not feeling like you're in the middle of nowhere. You're feeling like you're on the edge of an industrial, you know, area. So I'm not knocking it. But for me, where we seek, you know, solitude, and the helicopter flying around Niagara Falls annoys me. Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't feel peace.
I'm glad that you elaborated on that. So, that was all very valid, and, you know, that's our flavor.
But a great job if you live near there. Get on there. Great for kids to go ride somewhere to hang out, as long as it's not wet, because it's closed, clearly. I didn't see any mushrooms, by the way.
Well, I did. Not there. Because clearly I wasn't there. However...
So go on then. What did you find?
Well, I mean, I and we both have found a lot of mushrooms in the last couple of weeks. If anyone is wondering if they can fly with foraged mushrooms on an airplane, domestically anyways, no problemo. I got stopped for my rocks, not the mushrooms. Remember I told you the guy went into my bag? Not from the mushrooms.
We are odd, though.
Well,
not many people would be carrying rocks, would they? He let you bring them, though.
I thought the mushrooms were a little bit more weird, although maybe not. And also, one would not know that I collected them from the forest.
No, and they were chanterelles, so they looked legit.
True, but you can't really... Well, anyways. So I found a wicked little jackpot of chanterelles in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
With my dearest friends, Ryan and Miss B. Miss B is, her name is Arena, is also a fellow forager, so I had a jolly good time with her. exchanging wild edibles, and she helped me collect them.
Advice and tips.
Yes. So I brought back a good little sack of those.
You did.
Which were delicious. We cooked them on the barbecue, actually, which was a bit different.
Yeah, on a cast iron pan on the barbecue.
We've been doing a lot of cooking lately, and like multiple methods.
Thanks to the in-laws, we have a cool new barbecue.
Yeah, thanks, Mom and Dad.
Well, my in-laws.
So, what else did we find? Oh, we had a nice little hunt the other day and came back with 3 kinds of mushrooms.
And this was in our area down here, so sort of in the St. Catharines, Niagara area, yeah.
Yep, so we found a wicked little cluster of chicken of the woods that was ever so young and tender. The juiciest and most squishiest and most tenderest piece I ever did have.
So eyes open for when you're riding.
Did you just raise your
Well, because I didn't want to make a noise. I was raising my cup and shaking
After
it.
After I just offered you tea and you said no.
Didn't want to disrupt the flow of the podcast.
By eating your biscuit.
It's been a long day. So on the chicken of the woods thing, if you're riding along through the woods wherever you are at this time of year, maybe keep an eye out for that bright yellow thing.
Yep, now is definitely the time. But that was such a nice cluster. Just actually quite small, super young, 0 bugs, and it was one good solid meal for us.
Yeah.
And you know what? For once, I must say, it was actually kind of refreshing to not find the mother load and be dealing with it for days on end.
Yes.
It was very manageable.
Where we're sick of it, slightly.
Or just like stressed out that I need to take care of this. So, we also that day found, and we spoke about it a podcast or two ago, the crown-tipped coral mushrooms, which I did say I don't usually collect. However, we found a few good clusters that were quite plentiful. So, I said, I'm gonna take this. And they looked rather clean, minimal cleaning of dirt and all that between all those nooks and crannies. So actually I made something quite delicious that I'm not going to share. You'll have to wait for me to post the recipe, because it's coming
soon.
Yep, I'll give you a little tease. We had some with breakfast on the weekend.
Yep,
and that's all I'm saying. And also we found, we ended up collecting a good number of lung oysters.
Yeah.
In fact, from 2 different locations. We collected some from one location, and I think the following day, another few clusters, and it equaled a nice little haul.
Yeah, and we've been lacking oysters this year a bit.
On the summer front, for sure.
Maybe because of the weather, but it was good to see a good haul.
I do think that those lung oysters, and I could be wrong, but I think that they're quite quick to come up.
Yeah.
And quite quick to sort of decay and get past it. And because I see, decaying
remnants,
bug infested clusters all the time, but I haven't been quite in the right place at the right time.
Well, I rode where we found them on Sunday of the week before.
Yes.
And then we found them on Saturday. So there weren't any there when I rode that Sunday.
So 1 week, eh?
Well, what I'm saying is they may have been even quicker because it was hot, then it rained a lot, and then it was hot again.
True.
So, you know, I don't know, maybe a day or two is all it needs. Because some of them were young, weren't they? They were
quite
little, which were excellent. But yeah, because I ride there so often. Like I said, they weren't there a week earlier, so.
Jamie's got his eyes on them. Hawk eyes, my scout here. And what did we do with the lung oysters, Jamie? Because that was quite cool.
So we have a smoker that came from, it's Scandinavia that we have used in the house, but we put it on the barbecue on a low heat with some wood chips in it, and we smoked them.
We did.
For a good amount of time, and yeah, it seems to have taken on the smoke well, hey?
And what type of wood chips do we end up using? Oak, yeah. We've got about 5 or 6 different types of wood chips.
We're just experimenting and learning, really.
Definitely. And I wasn't sure if the mushrooms were sufficiently cooked. I think I plan to still cook them a little bit more, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
However, you could definitely tell where some of them were on the tray. Some of them are for sure cooked. Others maybe a little less so. So I don't know what phase 2 of those mushrooms I'm going to do with them. I was thinking maybe a risotto or something.
Yeah, I think that would be excellent.
But we have a big bowl of smoked lung oysters currently in the fridge. Hello, Sydney.
We do. So, yeah, it will be exciting to get into those.
Definitely. Yeah, open to suggestions if anyone's got any great ideas for what we should do with our smoked lung oysters.
Fire us a message.
Yes, please. So I have one more mushroom that I would like to share about, and it's a new one, a newly identified mushroom for me and for us.
Yep.
And so I did a little, not extensive research, but a regular research. And I thought it was kind of nothing. I didn't even keep it or collect, like, take it with us. There was a few, I think. But I did snap a few photographs so that I could investigate after when I wasn't being attacked by mosquitoes. And what I have discovered is that they were called ash tree boletes. And I was a bit surprised that it was a bolete because, to me, it didn't quite look like pores. It almost looked like a web network of folds.
Yeah.
So the underside of them is quite interesting, and perhaps that's a bit sort of more magnified or enlarged as they mature. Maybe they're smaller and more pore-like when they're younger. But anyways, so as I said, we did not collect any and consume any of these mushrooms, but I have discovered that they are edible. And I'm getting kind of mixed reviews about, you know, some people are saying that they're not really that good at all. And other people are saying that they are quite good. And most boletes are. Most boletes are, I think, even better dehydrated.
Right.
But, you know, they have a pleasant odor and a soft and nutty and velvety texture and taste. Another bonus of this mushroom is that there is generally little to no bug issues.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Which is excellent. Yeah.
Super excellent. And again, as I was saying about those pores, as the mushroom matures, the pores get larger and they're almost like a diamond shaped pattern. But like I said, to me, they almost looked like folds. They're almost bright pale, if I could say that, a bright pale yellow on the underside and a sort of brownish gray on the top of the cap. And so they can be found under, obviously, take a wild guess, under ash trees, alder trees, or tamarack trees. And you can find these at the same time, generally, as you're looking for chicken fat boletes or slippery jacks or milk caps. So keep your eyes peeled for all of those when you're looking for any one, which one of these. I would say that they are definitely more choice when young. As they get older, you could scrape out the pores just like you would for slippery jack. These might be best sort of added to a mix or a medley of other types of mushrooms. I don't think that their flavor is going to particularly knock your socks off. But I think they could be a welcomed, softer texture amongst a variety of other, say, chewier or firmer mushrooms. And definitely, I would say that this mushroom is good for drying and grinding into a powder. So, there you have it, the ash tree boletes, which perhaps next time
we shall collect.
Bring a few of those little fellers home with us.
I think we probably should. Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I think just one more thing.
Get lost.